it's part of my Sigma male gatekeeping grind set.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this is how you keep women and minorities from liking anime. you just attack them like a psychopath. Yeah. So it's like we talk, you know, talking about shonen anime, shoujo anime. Like that's like level one. That's like normie tier. And then below that, it's like talking about studios. So it's like, it's an A1 Pictures anime. It's a Ufotable anime, or I don't know what's another, a Shaft anime, some shit like that. A MAPPA.
I feel like it's fair.
Like the next level of like cognition. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you go from like talking about like, it's like quote unquote genres and like the most vague, useless, nebulous kind of way to then talking about studios, because now you understand like the production philosophy behind stuff a little bit more. So you just kind of like, all right, studios matter.
It is more fair to do that with studios though than it is like demographics, because demographics
it is, but it's still not exactly, there are problems with it, especially when you kind of just use it as like an all-encompassing thing.
Like you can't put Toei into like Battle Shonen box or something, like,
right? Well, it's, and like the equivalence for like manga would be, instead of like talking about like shonen manga, shoujo manga, things like that, it's, you're talking about specific publications, specific magazines, things of that nature,
right?
It's kind of like what it would be like to be talking about studios, because obviously studios themselves are going to have like a history to them. They're going to have certain people that are associated with them moving in and out of the company, all that sort of stuff. And the same can be said, obviously, for magazines. And then the level, obviously, then beyond that is like individual creators and their sorts of like their own creative development across their own career, their influences and their impact on the like medium as a whole, things of that nature. And then, you know, the equivalent to that would then be talking about like directors or producers, writers, things of that, like big project leads in when it comes to anime, things like that.
And then you realize that they just lie to you and say, like, Yuasa's directed every single thing on...
Akiyuki Shinbo has personally directed every single episode of every Shaft anime.
They just do the fuck, what do they call it? Like the chief producer, executive producer, or chief director, or executive producer. It's like...
Yeah.
What does that role entail exactly?
Yeah. Well, It's like moving out of like the Dunning-Kruger Valley, basically, because after a certain point, you realize that even like staff listings don't really tell the whole picture. They don't tell the whole story behind like what's going into something. So, you know, Akiyuki Shinbo has like, you know, chief director credits on, I think, basically every entry into Monogatari, except I believe Kizu and maybe the most recent one. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But there, from what I understand, and based on, like, you know, things that I've read, you know, him talking about stuff, his involvement very much seems to be as, like, it's, say, he, you know, his title is chief director, but his role seems to be much more of, like, a writer, you know, taking stuff from, you know, Niso Eason's novels and then figuring out ways to, like, transpose them into an anime format. And that seems to be, like, a big part of, like, what he's doing.
You know, he just walks into work and then, like, sits down at the desk, kicks his feet up in the desk, and just starts smoking a cigarette and, like, I don't know, scrolling Twitter or some shit for porn, and then just leaves, like, every day.
That's Mamoru Oshii talking, I think, like, Steven brought that up, is, like, being a director is just kind of, like, you come in, you tell the people what to do, and then you leave. Like, all right.
I feel like Shinbo would be that on steroids, because he doesn't even like, he's not even like the director, he's like chief director.
Well, it's funny because like when we were in that interview for Petite Cassette, and he's like, the whole interview they're like trying to talk to him about like, yeah, so this is like this like really like auteur creative project for you, right? And the whole interview he's just talking about everyone else that worked on it and praising them.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think the interviewer like even like calls him out on it. He's like, okay, now you're just being like absurdly modest. This is ridiculous.
He's probably just like, no, I really didn't do fucking anything.
Yeah, I
drew some fucking shitty ass pictures and they somehow turned that into an anime.
Oh god, yeah, Akiko Shinbo's storyboards are fucking insane to look at. I don't know how you look at that and go, ah, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's like the fucking like final like self-portrait of Van Gogh or some shit. But this is his whole life.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, like being like a director is like a lot. It's a lot of it just comes down to you don't necessarily need to be a competent illustrator or animator. You kind of just need to have ideas and be able to manage a project.
Yes, I'm also an ideas guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's, anime directors are for ideas people. Ideas people with no skill whatsoever.
The
like
highest level. The highest level of ideas guy. Anime director.
I mean, a lot of the best anime directors are people who were not animators, really. I mean, Akiko Shinbo got a start as an animator. Mamoru Oshii, I think, just started as a episode director. I don't think Isao Takahata, I think Isao Takahata just flat out said he cannot draw. Who directed Utena?
Ikahara.
Yeah, I think Ikahara was also like, he didn't come from an animator background. I think he just started as an episode director. So it's, you know, it's not, it, I mean, in today's climate, it's probably a requirement, but you know, back in the day, it seems like that was less of a thing. And even now, still, you have producers for like, you know, there is like a pipeline where you go from like production assistant to producer to then director. Like the most recent example of that would be that I think of off the top of my head would be Days with My Stepsister. Mm-hmm. And that obviously has like a very like exaggerated style to it.
Yeah. I guess that begs the question. Huh. Is Miyazaki a good director? He just wants to do 60% of everything himself.
It's true. I guess it depends on your perspective. On one hand, yeah, he makes great stuff. On the other hand, by literally all accounts, he is a nightmare to work under.
Nightmare to work under? He will literally just redraw your entire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He would literally draw the whole movie himself.
Even Hideaki Anno would do shit like that, where like he would do it without telling people. Like someone would be working on something for the Rebuild movies, and then they would have like their like animation materials like on their desk, and Anno would just come in and like be reviewing it, and then just not like it and just throw it away without telling them. It's, they're like, why didn't you do that?
I'm just imagining like they're screening like 3.0 or 3.0 plus 1.0, and like an animator's like sitting there watching the screening, and like he's like, "Oh, this is my cut coming up," and then like it's just totally different. He just, it's like that Death Note scene where L's just looking at lights. He's just like, "What the fuck?"
By the way, don't take our word for any of this for anyone listening, because this is me going off like vague memories of things that I've read, and I could very well be misremembering.
Yeah, I'm just making shit up. I'm just
yeah. Unlike Toshi Okada, though, I will just tell you that up front. oh shit!
I think we're supposed to be talking about something today.
Oh yeah, welcome to the Weeb Crew. By the way, we're like 10 minutes into this, based on like what I'm gonna cut to it.
10 minutes? Oh,
I don't know.
We've been recording for like 20 minutes.
That was a good conversation. All that staying in.
Just the preamble.
We had a whole idea for an opening bit for this episode, or that we'll just do some other time, where we're just like, we don't know how to actually do a podcast, so we're just like,
hello,
welcome to the Weeb Crew.
Just weird vocal
for 5 minutes, and like anyone new tuning in will just like fucking leave.
Yeah, we got to filter out everybody that wants to like try us out.
It's true.
Yeah, completely.
Welcome to the Weeb Crew. Hello, welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mumi.
I've got a sawed off. I'm ready to just decap her entire trajectory.
No, don't finish. Do not finish that sentence. I don't want. You will not make any actionable threats towards any content creators that we may or may not dislike.
Wait, what? I'm just talking about myself.
What? Oh. Oh,
who do you think I was talking about?
Okay, but you also, you cannot talk about. I gotta censor. What are you talking about?
I said decap myself.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm just maiming. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I don't want to kill myself.
You can
myself.
Maim
only,
somebody.
Only horrible. Yeah, talking about maiming yourself is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I am going
to. Okay. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. All right, hold on. Let me note. Let me just note down that to censor. Oh, that's what we call Patreon content, everyone. You want to hear what we just said? Pay us a dollar.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Don't clip that. Don't clip that out of context, though. Don't do it.
No. What are we talking about today? We had like something in mind. I've forgotten. Oh yeah, Sakamoto Days. Right?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Sakamoto Days.
We got to talk about the big popular shonen this season.
Big hit. Everyone loves it.
Well, you don't, seemingly.
I'm okay.
Why are you not
towing
the party line, Mumi?
They didn't, the check bounced, so.
Oh. it makes sense. I can kind of tell it's not your tone. It's not the tone that you seem to like from like shonen anime.
Not generally.
You're more in line. You vibe more with like the gritty, dark edginess of like a Jujutsu Kaisen or Chainsaw Man.
You say I like the gritty, like the grunginess. It's not necessarily like edgy.
Yeah, you don't like the talk no jutsu childish stuff of Naruto.
I'm not against that. That's not relevant to Sakamoto Days, by the way.
I'm not against that kind of thing. Because like the idea is like Sakamoto Days is like overall like much sillier and like happier, I'd say.
Well, that's fine. So like the better comparison to Sakamoto Days I would make would be like Spy Family.
Yes.
Which I feel like they're just constructed in ways that are different, that like I am invested in Spy Family much more so than like Sakamoto Days, right?
Right. Well, Spy Family has that like added layer of like dramatic irony where all these characters have secrets that none of them know about.
Yeah.
So a lot of like the comedic conflict is driven by them trying to maintain those facades.
Well, I think important part of it is that Anya is basically the pilot character. Like, she's the character we're seeing the majority of what's going on. Not, like, specifically, like, she has to be there at every single thing. But, like, it's mostly from her perspective.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, we're kind of getting her insight into her, like, thoughts and her delusions and all that about what's going on, as opposed to like Sakamoto Days, which is more from like, I guess like the mind reader guy.
It's funny, yeah, they're both mind reader characters, but because like Sakamoto doesn't really have like any like his kid doesn't know, but his wife knows.
His wife,
everyone else knows.
Everyone knows. So yeah, there's not like that dramatic irony aspect. There is a layer of, I guess, where it's like they're doing things behind his wife's back and not letting her know that they're doing it to kind of protect them.
Right. But it's still like that's mostly just kind of it's not like the worst thing in the world if she finds out either.
No, like she already knows. She just if you kill someone, they get divorced.
Yeah, the appeal for Sakamoto Days is more along the lines of like everyone underestimates him. Everyone looks at him and goes, oh, look at this fat schmuck. I could kill him easily. And then they get bodied.
Oh, you're saying it's a body positivity anime?
Yes.
Now, that's why I hate
except
it.
That, I mean, at I the end think of like, the most recent episode that we've seen when he just locks the fuck in, he just glows up and like loses his mustache somehow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he does that.
He goes from one kind of daddy to another.
This is the weirdest prequel to Slam Dunk I've ever seen.
Yeah, I do have to wonder if his design has to be influenced by the coach from Slam Dunk, right?
100%. There's no fucking way.
Like, there's no feasible way that's not like
unless there's some like obscure character in Japanese history that was like that would be really popular that you would know if you were like of certain age or something, and then like it's kind of lost to like newer generations that he is referenced. Like, there's just no way.
I mean, how old is the author? Konada, you haven't said anything for the past several episodes.
Oh, she's alive?
How old is the author of Sakamoto Days?
I thought she was dead.
I'm not dead, you stupid fucking inbred sack of shit! Sakamoto Days author is 31 years old.
Wow, he's younger. He's 31. He's younger than you, Mumi.
Oh my god, don't tell me that.
Yeah, that's, that means, do you feel old yet?
Well, that in Slam Dunk is like...
So, well, if anything, it seems like he would have grown up with Slam Dunk then,
he
right?
He would have been a literal infant.
When was Slam Dunk publishing? Because he was born in 93 then, so...
I think Slam Dunk is... Like, the anime started in 92 and then in 95, right?
So the anime ran from 1993 to 96. Like 1996.
Yeah. There's a Slam Dunk fan that's screaming at their computer right now.
93! So it's, I don't know, the timeline definitely lines up then, so.
He'd be a literal infant.
I don't know, I'm really liking Sakamoto Days.
I don't enjoy it as much as I would have liked, but I am enjoying it.
Like, I feel like that's me with Dandadan from last season. It's like, I like this, but it's just not... Based on what I expected out of it, I feel like I should like this more. Whereas with Sakamoto Days, it's like, yeah, no, this is much more my vibe, I think, than Dandadan, honestly.
I think part of the appeal of Sakamoto that I am not really vibing with is kind of like that aspect you were talking about, where it's like, it's about Sakamoto being fucking like badass, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that was there in like something like Spy Family, right? It just as a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like the folk, like, it was kind of more from the perspective of like, oh, my dad's so cool. Like, Twilight is so cool because he's a spy. He's my dad.
Right, yeah.
So like it was just more comedic that he was just like a badass, whereas like this, it's right, comedic that a fat guy, I guess, is a badass. But like,
yeah, well, you get like nice like animation bits and stuff of his like someone tries to like punch him and his jowls just kind of like jiggle when he dodges them,
like the Matrix.
yeah, but a Matrix of the fucking fat guy.
But I don't know, like, it doesn't have the layers that Spy Family did, where like episode to episode I'm like locked in, like, oh, this is kind of cool.
That's fair. Yeah, well, it's like, I would say that there are, especially season one of Spy Family, I feel like I like more than Sakamoto Days. Season two I feel kind of mixed on, especially given the fucking tennis arc.
I mean, it's hard to compare because that's like 14 episodes in to 18 episodes in of Spy Family.
Yeah, although I think we're already like halfway through the season of Sakamoto Days. We're like, how many episodes?
I think we're at five. Episodes in are we? Let me see. Six is coming out this week.
Yeah, and there's we're on episode four, and there's 11 episodes in this first core. So
that's what it was. Yeah,
and then, which is weird, and then yeah, the second core won't be out until July. So it's like, damn, we're just moving right along through this, aren't we?
We're just trucking. We're trucking through.
I don't, it's weird that like the split core stuff is like being set up like that.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think ReZero, like the current season of ReZero, also had like a really weird split.
It's not,
it's like where like nine episodes came out and then it's picking back up like tomorrow or something. I don't know.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I know, literally. Yeah,
that would be funny. If it was like, yeah, we're gonna do it tomorrow.
Well, it ended, I think, like back in November, or like early December, and then it's like, oh, now it's back, like in February, and it's like, that doesn't conform to any TV season structure, but all right, Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Season 2, part 2. What the hell is going? What am I looking at here?
I mean,
so wait.
The Norman culture of anime is just fucking abysmal. Season 2, part 2.
Oh, God. Oh, I mean. Like the, to a certain extent, it's improved past like the bullshit of like Gintama, where every Gintama season has like a different, like an apostrophe or something at the end, some sort of like diacritic or punctuation. Now it's like, I mean, the funniest one is, like what happened with, Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan.
Attack on
Titan.
Let's go.
Attack on Titan. Let's go. Attack on Titan. The final season. The final core. The final part. Part two. Something. It got really ridiculous towards the end. It's like, I guess you can understand just at a glance, like what order you're supposed to watch stuff in. Mm-hmm. And you can't really say that about Monogatari.
True. But I don't know. Monogatari just seems more classy, even though it's like,
that's fair.
You can't look at the names and be like, yes, I need to watch this now. But it is.
It's really funny.
It is nice.
Like, you go into Barnes and Noble and you're looking for light novel. Like you're looking for the like Monogatari light novels. And the way they have the like manga light novel section organized is by title, not by author. So not only is it a hassle to figure out which one you're supposed to read first, you basically do like a scavenger hunt across the entire section, which keeps growing, by the way, in order to find like the thing that you want to watch or read.
Oh, God. You gotta go all the way down to the end. Oh, fuck. God damn it.
I was around Christmas a couple of years ago. I was in like a Barnes and Noble and just like browsing the manga section. This girl comes up to me and she's like, can you tell, like, so what are the things called where like they're like manga, but there's more words and like fewer pictures. I'm like, you mean like a light novel? Yeah, that's it. And she basically was like, I need to find one for like my friend really likes them. I want to get her one for Christmas. Which ones do you, what would you recommend? And I just fucking gave her Baki Monogatari. Like, here, she'll probably like this.
See, I would have just, when she asked the question, I would have just struck her down immediately.
Oh, you would have hit her?
I didn't say it. That's what you said.
I like the idea. Like someone, a woman just like approaches you like in any social context, and your immediate reaction is to smack her. And it's like, you don't fucking talk to me, bitch.
Excuse me. What's a
shut up. Yeah, you work like a service job, but anytime a woman comes in, you just like you lunge at them.
No, it has to be about anime specifically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's part of my Sigma male gatekeeping grind set.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this is how you keep women and minorities from liking anime.
you just attack
them like a psychopath.
But yeah, Sakamoto days.
Sakamoto, I don't, for me, it's like, and I feel like I like it more than something like Dandadan because of the tone. Like, a lot of like newer shonen that we've been seeing are things like Jujutsu Kaisen or Chainsaw Man, Dandadan, and they have a very specific kind of like a little bit darker, a little bit grungier of a tone to them.
The dark triad.
Yeah, the dark triad or whatever the fuck. What's that one that's like a meme? It's like a guy with like the sword or
Kagurabachi.
Something.
Kagurabachi.
Yeah, stuff like that. Where I look at it, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. I like the lighter stuff. I like the sillier, like the like fights that are just kind of like characters talking a lot of the time, and then they punch each other. Like, I like that sort of stuff.
That's a weird, because like there's not a lot of that in Sakamoto days.
No, but it is like, it does still have like an overall like more whimsical tone to it.
They have like interesting set pieces for the fights, but like the fights themselves are not like not interestingly done.
they don't have like as much of that sort of like emotional layer to them. They're not Kinnikuman.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, like you compare it to Dandadan. Like
right.
Dandadan was very eclectic in how it did like its exchange, like its conflict, right?
Well, in terms of like presentation, sure, but it's also kind of like it's not so much about like, oh, you know, is the fight really well animated?
Well, I don't even necessarily mean about, like, aesthetically, visually, but like, you know, like the first thing is like they're trying to run from it's like a race, right? Like it's just like they're running through the city. Then you get like,
oh yeah, even like the concept of the fights, even then it's still just kind of like, I mean, I'm not the prime example of that is JoJo, and I'm not a big JoJo guy either.
See, I like JoJo.
Yeah.
I don't really care for it. I like JoJo when it kind of starts exploring that better than Punch Man. I'm not a fan of part three.
I like Kinnikuman because, like, I mean, they're kind of puzzle fights, but they're also just wrestling at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the fights are also just complete bullshit. Like, the villain will just pull out a new ability from nowhere. And it's like, why did you just do that in the first place? And it's like, to me, that doesn't really matter as much because it's like,
you're just more into like the
pathos.
That's
not why I'm watching the fight. I'm watching the fight because I have like this level of emotional investment into it that like, it's not so much like how they overcome it, but like the fact that they overcome it that's more interesting to me.
See, I like that when they do like both, right? Like, because I get emotionally invested in fights in like part four of JoJo. Maybe not to like the degree of some other shows.
Yeah.
But like there's still that layer
of like fights that I was like emotionally invested in part four. I can't really think of any.
I mean, I got like, so like if we're talking like not necessarily like,
no, like what I'm talking about is like Kinnikuman needs to win this fight or this kid will die of cancer.
Yeah, but like that
stuff like that, that's what I like.
Like that's a extreme of it. I do think part four has that. It's just not to that like it's not as that theatric, right? Like I'm thinking like the puzzle fights aspect of it is kind of what highlights that, because like someone needs to get to like the hospital or something, right? And they're like driving through the city on a fucking motorcycle. And like the way that conflict is kind of playing out creates that like engagement and investment.
Well,
part seven is obviously like the peak of that. Part four is probably not the best. That's the one that you know the best. So
yeah. For me, I think it's ultimately just a matter of like how much do I just like the characters in general, and I'm not the biggest fan of JoJo's overall tone. I like the characters in Dandadan quite a bit, but not in a way that like makes me enjoy the fights more. Mm-hmm. I like the characters in Sakamoto Days in ways that it's fun to just watch them fight and kind of bicker with one another.
The fights are very straightforward in Sakamoto. Like they put more of the effort into just making them like fun characters, I guess.
Yeah.
But like
And then
one of the most recent episodes or whatever, like where the guy gets his eyes poisoned and then like he's like having to work together with Sakamoto, who's like he's reading his mind so he can figure it out. Like it's very straightforward. It's not like a fucking complex like, oh, his ability does this, so I need to find a way to circumvent this ability.
Right. Yeah.
Or
like even something like Hunter x Hunter would be like a good example. Like my favorite quote-unquote fight in Hunter x Hunter is like the volleyball match during the Greed Island arc. And a lot of that's driven by like I like the idea of like Hisoka, Gon, and Killua working together. It's just really funny to see. So that makes it
on top of it having like a just a fun concept, that's like what really like if it didn't have that, if I didn't really care about the characters, I don't know if like having like a cool fight concept like that would be as meaningful to me.
And I guess the best way for me to put it is like, it's like when I played, when I really got into Dark Souls and I kind of thought about it and I was thinking about like its placement among my like favorite games or whatever. And I'm like, man, I was engaged with this on like a higher level for like a sustained period of the playtime, right? Like the majority of the game, like you're expected to kind of like engage with it, on, at least on your first playthrough. Like obviously when you replay it, it's another story.
I don't know. Yeah, Dark Souls for me is kind of like a comfort game now.
Yeah.
I just put that shit on and play.
We're so separated from that first experience, but like the emotion's still there.
I mean, my first experience with Dark Souls was fucking terrible because I played it with like a keyboard and mouse and I didn't have like the DS fix mod or whatever that you needed for the original release on Steam. It was terrible.
So
it was the literal worst. I think I did not play it again for months and months until I eventually got an Xbox controller and played it.
I've talked about my first time as Dark Souls. It was not good either.
Oh yeah. I didn't know you like roll. I was just mostly blocking. I didn't know rolling was supposed to be as big of a thing till I was streaming it to a friend on Discord and they were like, why aren't you rolling? It's like, I have a big shield and a lot of armor. I don't need to roll.
Keep rolling.
You like the layer, like, you know, the layers and like the things kind of like interlocking basically, like all these different ideas.
Like the idea of like utilizing the fewest, like maximizing the amount of information you're giving in like a given moment, right? Because like that's what I was comparing, like when I had to kind of come to terms with the fact
you
that
like stuff that's dense.
Yeah, when I had to come to terms with like, oh, I like Pokemon Red and Blue, but like 60% of that game is just you turning your brain off and walking around. Like I'm not engaged with it on that level. So like it kind of made me like think of like how I was engaging with stuff differently. And
something like a Pathologic, or I guess you don't really like strategy games that much, but like something like Frostpunk would probably be like the closest example of like a kind of game in that genre you would enjoy.
So like I feel like anime is similar to that, where like I think of like, you know, we talk about like Fooly Cooly or whatever, like Fooly Cooly.
Yeah.
It's doing a lot with like very little. It's not sitting there like explaining all of these things to you, but like even with like the references, select characters are using these references as a way to like flesh them out. So like in the moment you're like watching on like a surface level, you're like, ah, this is a funny reference. Very cute. And then like, you kind of think about it and you're like, oh, actually that kind of makes sense for their characterization to be talking about that. And you can kind of like dig deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I very much do appreciate like the layers where it's like you have that surface layer, you can appreciate it without engaging with it on a deeper level. But if you want to, that deeper level is accessible to you. Like,
yeah, I think for me, first and foremost, it does just need to be like entertaining to watch. And then it's nice when it's interesting to think about, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
at least think about in that sort of way. Like, I mean, the most recent example would be like Shimatsu Train fucking broke your brain. But even something like what the fuck is that? Ojisan Villainous is the only thing, like, just what I call it.
The bureaucrat Ojisan. Yeah.
Yeah. Bureaucrat reincarnated as a villainous or something, like that's a really good example of that, because there is like a lot of different things going on, a lot of different like layers that you can kind of like pick apart. And like what were we talking about, like in the opening, like the references to like what was it, like Rose of Versailles is interesting,
yeah,
because something like Rose of Versailles, the idea is like this is like a woman trying to essentially perform the role of a man, whereas in this show it's the opposite. It's a man trying to perform the role of a woman in a very specific context.
Yeah.
And how they think and how they are trying to navigate that.
It's clever in a way, but it's also like you kind of want to see it. Like it's engaging on that like surface level, like, oh, this would be kind of cool if they like kind of go with that
This is like a funny concept, like an idea for like a character and like how they would engage with this situation. But then there's like more beyond that as well.
Yeah, Puniru is a good example of that, because like I remember we talked about it.
Oh yeah,
I talked a lot about like how it was like kind of playing with the idea of like gender roles and performativity that way. But none of that is really like that important to the show. Like, you can watch Puniru in a complete brain rot mode and enjoy it. Like, you don't need to sit there and be like, oh yes, Kawaii-san is really challenging the masculine gender roles here. It's like, no, like, who cares? Yeah. Just fucking turn your brain off if you want. But yeah, it's that same kind of like concept. So like, it is enjoyable on that level. It's just like, I like that density because it gives me a little bit something more to like sink my teeth into, where it like sticks with me.
Yeah.
So I'll think about it. Like you said, fucking Train Girls is a good example of that. Train Girls, I feel like, has kind of slowly risen in my anime of the year list, just purely based on the fact that I keep thinking about shit about it and I keep talking about it.
Sunny Boy for me would probably be like the equivalent for that.
Yeah, Sunny Boy's good about that too.
Yeah, where it's like, if anything, I think of this decade so far, of the 2020s, Sunny Boy might be, and maybe this would change if I went back and watched it. It's not, because it's not really like high up on my favorites, but it's a show that's just kind of like stuck with me in the back of my head ever since I saw it. And I was just kind of like, I keep coming back and thinking about it and like, man, there's like so many interesting ideas executed in weird ways that it's almost you kind of have to think about it, honestly. That's like if anything, that's a knock on the show, is like, if you're just watching it and not really approaching it from that angle of like, you really need to like seriously engage with it and try and piece it together and figure out what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
You're going to be kind of left wanting, I think.
Yeah. I feel like the monkey baseball episode's like the main filter point.
Oh yes.
Like, that is the episode where they're basically just telling you exactly like,
that's the perfect filter for the show, because yeah, it's like, either you will, if you can get through the monkey baseball and you like what that episode does, you'll probably like the show overall. If you watch that episode and you're annoyed by the fact that there were like no monkeys in the entire episode, they were invisible the entire time.
Wait,
you're going to hate the show.
They're talking about something that didn't actually happen,
or it did happen.
What?
But it didn't happen. It never. Thousands of years had transpired in that episode, or something. It's like that's what I like about Sunny Boy, is that it's constantly. You think you have an idea, you have a theory that you go in with, you have an idea of like what it's like, what's really going on in Sunny Boy, but then it presents you with information that just actively still contradicts that and makes it like impossible to get a hold of.
Yeah.
And like really like piece it together and understand.
That is one of my favorite shows of the decade so far. I don't think it necessarily was like executed to the level I would have liked. Like, I still think Summer Ranking is my favorite of that year over Sunny Boy, but.
Right. I mean, there are flaws in terms of like, characterization is kind of all over the place. There isn't really like a strong through line for the plot. It'll set something up, or like something will happen at the end of one episode, and then that's just never really addressed in the following episode at all. It's like a cliffhanger that just goes nowhere.
I do think it's like, it almost has like the technolized effect, where like episode one technolized is like a big barrier of entry for people, because it's just like,
yeah,
filter scares the hose.
Well, I would honestly compare it to something like Serial Experiments Lane, where it's very inscrutable. I feel like technolized is relatively obvious.
Yeah, but I mean like just like the beginning, like how it like kind of filters people at the beginning. I feel like Sunny Boy does that, but like for its first like four episodes or something. Like, it's,
yeah.
I remember this like succinctly, like the monkey baseball episode was where I was like, oh, I see the vision now. And I was able to like engage with it on the level it was at after that point. But it's, like, I can't divorce myself from the knowledge of that experience of the first four episodes where I'm just kind of like, okay.
It's taking these like social critiques or like concepts and like ad-libbing them out with like absurd ideas that communicate the same thing at the end of the day, while at the same time also actively doing things to undermine the interpretation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, I believe that to be like absolutely intentional, just based on like, what I've seen.
No, it's definitely that has to be intentional. There's a way.
Yeah. Well, he's talked about it like we have no quantum theory of gravity, essentially. Like, we don't really understand gravity all that well, but nonetheless, we're still like affected by it. And that's kind of like the general idea of the show, is like things that neither the characters nor you as the viewer can necessarily understand, but it's still like impacts
you.
Either the characters in the context of the show or impacts you as a viewer.
Right.
Which is a very interesting concept. And I think that's like why I keep thinking about it.
Yeah, and
keeps living rent-free in my head.
That's something I really like about Sonny Boy, but like just in comparison to like something like Evangelion, right? Like Evangelion is something in that same vein that I feel like is like executed on like a much higher level to me anyway.
Yes.
Where like,
I think Evangelion still gives you things like really emotionally resonant characters. Also, just it's also just enjoyable. It's willing to be silly at points.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just like a good show for like the majority of like without going deeper into anything, right? Like without necessarily having to delve deep and like have the trained segments where they're like sitting there like, oh, why am I here? Why do I pilot? Like that stuff is good, but like it's good without those.
There's so much else to go that going on to appreciate about it as well.
Right, like it's still a fun show. Like you watch the first four episodes compared to the first four episodes of Sonny Boy. Is a much funner show to me.
Well, the first four episodes of Evangelion are kind of miserable and stark and brutal. Once Ray smiles, then the show is like, that's like the turning point of the show where like it's like, ah, now it is just kind of like fun and Shinji has friends and stuff.
I feel like emotionally, yeah, you're right. I feel like
they were
enjoyable like episodes though.
Right, you understand what is happening still.
Yeah, you're able to engage with it, what it's doing, and you're like, oh yeah, cool robot. Oh, no, fucking
yeah. Well, like when we most recently watched Evangelion, it's every episode just goes by so quickly.
Yeah,
it's kind of insane.
Something like Sonny Boy, could never.
Yeah, so I think that's like. That probably explains like the slight discrepancy that we have in enjoying Sakamoto Days is for me, that's not necessarily as much of a prerequisite for me to get really on board with something. I think of it is just like fun to watch. And I do have a lot of fun watching Sakamoto Days to a certain extent. That is just like enough for me to be like, dude, hell yes, I'm here for it.
Well, for like me, like I enjoy it in that same way. It's just like,
right.
Sakamoto Days is not necessarily remarkable in that, because like it's not something that I'm like conceptually just like really attracted to, right? Like I'm enjoying Salaryman Isekai on that same level. I feel like Salaryman Isekai is that, not to be confused with the bureaucrat becoming a villainous the one where he gets summoned because he is a middle management isekai.
Yes.
For anyone listening that might have been confused, there are a lot of isekai about middle-aged men this season.
Yes.
But like that, I'm it's obviously like executed worse than Sakamoto. Like it's lower budget, doesn't have as great of animation or like visual the style. Like there's not like a strong aesthetic to it.
Right.
So like on that level it's executed worse. But like it's more conceptually interesting, which is weird because like I've never really liked isekai, so the fact that there's like a lot of isekai
it's funny
season.
That you say this and like you're like three out of your like top five of the season are isekai.
It's like it's a weird season. Okay. I guess to be fair, does Tensai Oji or fucking bureaucrat villainous, does that count as the isekai now that with the most recent episode reveal? Isn't it just more like trapped in a game or something?
I don't. Well, it's, he's trapped in the game, but like the game is like separate. It's magic. Also,
But he's not.
Let's say it's one of those things where it's like it's obviously like taking so much influence from it that it's like.
Yeah, it's functionally the same.
That's different from something like Digimon, which is like largely unrelated, like lineage wise.
Right. Yeah, it's functionally like it's like Zenshu, like they're functionally isekai, but like maybe not literally isekai.
They're now in that vein where like the construct of the world is not necessarily as much of a demarcation,
right?
For like what kind of is it an isekai or not?
But I'm like I'm engaged with that show. Kind of on a somewhat, but it's like more interesting to me just on that surface level where it's like I can kind of think of the thing like, oh, it's kind of cool that he's using, you know, the kind of tactics he learned by working middle management to like address supply chain issues and marketing strategies, stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Whereas like Sakamoto Days is just like, we're going to be a badass fat guy and shoot people and block bullets with candy and stuff. Which is like, it's fine. Right. It's enjoyable on that level. It's just not conceptually like something I'm like really drawn to. Like, oh, okay.
Yes. And for me, I think it's like, I don't disagree, but for me, it's just not as much of like something I really need or crave out of a show like Sakamoto Days.
No.
Or really any kind of shonen like that. Again, for me, I think it mostly comes down to like the tone of it all and the sort of, I don't know, just energy that it has. Again, it's not like a, I'm just not a big fan of like the darker stuff like Chainsaw Man. Like I watched that and I'm like, yeah, it's all right. Not really the what I come to for this kind of show. It's weird.
I like those in the same similar way to like isekai, right? Because isekai is kind of building on this kind of history of the genre. This is kind of a response to how shonen's kind of evolved. We're like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
This is refreshing because it's like, oh, so many shonen before this have kind of been going with like the Naruto, Dragon Ball
characters
kind of
that die can be brought back to life at any point where it's like,
well, not even necessarily like that, like, okay. But like ideologically, where it's like, you know, like a Naruto, like they're redeeming everybody.
There's a great deal of like idealism at play, whereas something like Chainsaw Man doesn't really have that.
It's kind of that logical, just like next step, where it's just like, okay, we're gonna address this by just being completely nihilistic, and there's like
it's a. So what you're saying is shonen, especially Shonen Jump, has been Zack Snyderified.
Zack Snyderified. And it's like
these are all. So you're saying these are all deconstructions.
I want to clarify, like. I don't think this would be good if, like, it just continued to do that. Like, if every Shonen Jump property now was just, like, nihilistic, like, I wouldn't even necessarily
if everything was Kagurabachi.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily even say that these shows are, like, nihilistic in, like, a true sense.
No, but just, but like, they are notably darker.
Right. Like, it's notably, like, kind of, like, oh, things don't matter. There's obviously like idealism there, and that's
there's a greater emphasis on like the way they handle like sexuality, like something in Chainsaw Man, the way it's like handles like sexuality and stuff is obviously very different from like the nosebleed comedy of something like Naruto.
Right. I just want to clarify because I know there are going to be people that are like Chainsaw Man's not nihilistic because it's talking. He has hope for the. It's like okay, I'm not
sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm getting across like a general sort of thing.
Yeah. anyone who's not like anyone who's not an asshole understands what you mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, it is kind of a. It is technically wrong. Like if I were to like, oh, it is like a nihilistic work. It was like going to make a serious video essay on it.
In a certain sense, it's similar to like the trend that we've seen with like magical girl anime as well, where it's like, not to say that like, you know, shows that came before stuff like Monica were like, you know, all bright and cheery or whatever. But there is like a notable shift in the kinds of ideas that the genre is interested in and the way it goes about exploring those ideas.
Yeah.
But again, similar to shonen, it's not like other shows no longer exist.
And I guess like similar to that, it's refreshing as like it just kind of is new. So like Monica was refreshing, but then like once you get to like Magical Girl Raising Project, it's not refreshing anymore. So like you don't necessarily want there to like be a saturation of this sort of thing. It's just like as a trend, it's like, oh, this is an interesting response to that, right?
Right, yeah. But it's also not particularly a response that I'm interested in, even on just like a like surface level, aesthetic level kind of thing. And maybe that's simply born out of the fact that like I'm like how many years young? I'm like only 6 years younger than you, I think, but 6 and a half, something like that. Mm-hmm. But as a result of that, it doesn't sound like a lot of time now, but we grew up at different times and engaged with anime and manga when they were in pretty different places. Like you got into this shit when like you know Naruto was like just kind of coming over, where for me it was like not only was Naruto already an established thing, Naruto fucking ended when I was like in high school. Naruto ended, and I was like, oh cool, they defeated like the evil snake guy finally. It's like, no, they fought the moon god. I'm like, moon god?
Yeah, they went to the moon and fought God. Oh, okay.
What? I didn't know. I didn't know what Kaguya, what, like the concept of Kaguya was at that time.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like it's almost like I was never entrenched in that, or for I guess forced to engage with it as an anime fan. So now it's like I can engage with it voluntarily at my own sort of. Willing, like if you were at a buffet, Mumi, if you were at a buffet, all right,
okay, food analogy,
and all they had at the buffet was fried chicken, you'd probably get sick of fried chicken's amazing. You'd probably get sick of fried chicken after a while, but then eventually they start putting other stuff in the buffet that's not fried chicken. So then I come into the Ruby Tuesdays or whatever the hell, and I'm going to the buffet. And I like the fried chicken that they have, but that's also because they have a ton of other stuff at the buffet as well that maybe I'm not into some of that. Buffet food. I'm struggling to think of a buffet food I don't really care for. In any case,
you're into all the
I now
buffet
have an
food.
Option of eating the delicious fried chicken as well as a bunch of other stuff. Whereas you, who was forced to eat fried chicken and only fried chicken for years on end, you've been trapped in this Ruby Tuesdays.
This is the worst food analogy I've ever heard.
You no longer want to eat the fried chicken. Does that make sense?
Somehow, it's like the worst food analogy I think I've heard in some time, but I can follow you.
Food analogies always suck, all right?
Some are more well done than others, though. I think that one was a little overcooked.
All right, listen here. I think that was pretty good for just firing that off straight from the hip.
But yeah, like
you understand my point, though, right?
Yeah, like it is very much like because you can now kind of go back and selectively engage with that, whereas like in the mid 2000s, you were kind of limited on what you could engage with, at least what was reasonable, like for someone my age at that time, what was reasonable that you could engage with. I didn't know piracy things were much of a thing. Like there was like Naruto fan sites, but like if you don't know what fucking Shaman King is, you're not gonna think to like go to a Shaman King fan site and read the manga ahead of time. Like,
there wasn't like, I mean, my anime list I think was created in 2004. I think
I didn't know what fucking my anime list was. Conrad, like
Conrad, when did my anime list become a thing?
My anime list was founded in 2004.
Man, she's got a lot of work this episode.
Yeah,
we'll have to give her a bonus, a Christmas bonus that we skimmed out for.
What the fuck? You don't pay me shit.
No, I mean, you saw that video of like Kai Sinat beating the shit out of that robot, right? Just how we treat Kanata.
The next guest we get out, we're just gonna circle Kanata by and just kick her around.
Just try it, shit stain. I'll make you wish that 5G super cancer killed you.
But yeah, like you can kind of come in and selectively engage with shit. Like you didn't have that option back then necessarily. You kind of were just giving what you got. I guess that it plays a part of that, but like, I don't know, like even that, like just, it's an interesting like place to take it. Like again, if they like, if 100 people were coming and doing it in the same direction, I'd be less interested. I guess that's like the isekai thing, the whole thing with like argument for that. But like, so like maybe if like 100 people were doing that, it would still be kind of interesting. It just maybe not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's not that like being interested in a sense of like genre trends, stuff like that. Like you look at like the shift in the kind of mecha shows that you're getting between like the 1970s and the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
Into the 90s, or again magical girl anime, and now it's we're saying shonen, and I realized at the start we were talking about how that's like a bullshit way to
the battle show.
Yeah, we're talking about your archetypal neketsu kind of thing. You know, you're hot headed. In the case of like Fire Punch, literally hot headed like protagonist that is like, you know, they got to defeat the evil power or some shit like that.
Don't add us and be like, not all shonen is a fighting series. We get it.
Shut the fuck up. We're allowed to be pedantic like that. You're not.
You know what we're
you
saying.
Don't have a pod. If you have a problem with that, make your own goddamn podcast. and respond to us.
And then we'll invite you on.
Or if you're a larger podcast, you would love to come on.
And we'll invite you on, and then we'll get Kanata bot and kick you in a circle.
Yeah. What do you think about the anime? Like the animation for Sakamoto Days, by the way. I know a lot of people are like, they want it to look like fucking Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer? No. Demon Slayer. First off, to address this is a tangent. Demon Slayer doesn't look good to begin with.
Oh,
I fucking thought Demon Slayer looked like shit.
You don't like the Vaseline animation?
The Vaseline. There's so much like tweening and like
Are you sure you didn't watch like a 60 FPS edit of the show?
I'm 100% sure. I watched it when it was airing. They didn't have that. Unless they did, then
back in my day, we didn't have 60 FPS interpolated uploads of anime on the YouTube.
Well, in 2014, we had
horrible 60 FPS Knights of Sidonia. Like, interpolations of stuff have been around for forever.
I remember that someone did that for Knights of Sidonia.
I mean, there it's like, I mean, that's a little bit better, I guess, because it's
CG.
Like CG, yeah. But even then.
But not like you could. If you want, we could go scene by scene. I'll show you what I'm talking about. I remember a couple of the ones specifically. Namely with like the rock scene.
The rock is in Demon Slayer?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's like, he comes out, he's like, I just came to say you're welcome. And does a whole
I just came to say you're welcome. And like Tanjiro cuts his fucking head off with a sword.
It was right after his family was murdered, and then like
Tanjiro cuts the rock's character, cuts off the head of the rock's character from Iwana. And then he experiences his memories, but like all of his memories are just it's just Moana. The horror.
Oh, it's all Moana, but it's also from like his perspective. So it's like it's almost like Monogatari, where like her titties are bigger and then her ass is bigger. It's just hyper reality.
That's what they're gonna do for the live action version of that movie.
Of Demon Slayer?
No, they're making a live action Moana.
Oh, I thought you were saying that they were gonna do that. They're gonna have the Rock in the live action Demon Slayer.
Oh, that'd be really funny. Oh, is there gonna be there's already a live action Demon Slayer?
There's a play, like a 2.5D play. or whatever they call it.
That would be interesting to see. I'm just imagining like swinging around with like their swords.
But it's big like cock around.
They just have like the wavy paper and stuff on them to like represent the fire and water shit that they do.
Oh, it's not like wavy. I think it's like fabric.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And it's just like,
well, that sounds neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Demon Slayer looks bad to begin with. that's my hot take of the episode, I guess. If Sakamoto was not already a hot take. But Sakamoto, like,
I'll cut that into a short.
Sakamoto, I feel like it's consistent and it looks fine. Yeah. Aesthetically, it's I don't want to say like interesting. I like it aesthetically.
It's also not like super out there.
No, yeah, it's not necessarily.
It kind of, to a certain extent, it looks like a more limited version of Mob.
I see it like that kind of like grungy look.
I think, yeah, like the kind of like their approach to like colors and the way characters integrate with the background reminds me of Mob.
Mm-hmm.
Character animation is obviously handled in a very different way, though.
It's definitely not on that level, which that kind of goes back to what we were talking about with like the layered aspect. Like I do, it's not like an requirement, right? Like if something is not necessarily like the best animated, it doesn't necessarily like hurt the show. It just doesn't necessarily help it for me. So like with a demon, like not Demon Slayer, for I guess like Jujutsu Kaisen is a good example. Like that was one where I wasn't necessarily like, oh my god, the story is so gripping, but the fights were like executed on a level that I was able to engage with them in that way. Like it's just the fights and like the aesthetics of it and the animation. Yeah. Obviously, you want them married together like a Mob Psycho, where it's like it's great animation with like the pathos and the writing. But like, yeah, like as disparate parts, like separate from each other, like I can at least like, because Sakamoto is kind of very simple. If the fights were like better executed, I would be more engaged with it, like episode to episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I agree. Because I mean, obviously it can be interesting. You have something like a Mob Psycho or an Osama ranking. We have these like really, really like insanely well animated fights, but well, that can be interesting. For me, it's also just interesting to see how things kind of like cheat, basically, where they're able to do things, they're able to execute things in a way that is very limited, but I think those limitations and the way they kind of like can work within them is what becomes like, you know, what's like the Orson Welles quote, like the like absence of limitations is the enemy of art or whatever. So seeing how they're able to get around certain things or makes things seem like they're moving without actually having them move all that much is, to me, I think in some ways arguably more interesting than just seeing like straightforward, really good animation.
I guess I don't engage with it in that way. I do like appreciate that at times. Like I do like the Fable was that way. Like the Fable is very limited in its animation. And I thought that it was directed well enough that like it kind of synthesized with that, where it kind of just felt like a 90s television show. It's like I said, like if it were Cell animated, it would be fucking perfect.
If it was Cell, I would say even something like Evangelion falls into that category. Like everyone talks about like the last two episodes of Evangelion have like shitty animation or whatever. But I think maybe I've talked about this on the podcast before. I was talking with Jaden of the Cynic Clinic, and he had an idea for a video where he would basically go through the first episode of Evangelion and the last episode of Evangelion, and basically count the number of drawings between the two, and his hypothesis is either like they would be about the same, or like the first episode of Evangelion would not have that many more drawings than the final episode. But obviously no one talks about the first episode of Evangelion looking like shit, because that would be fucking insane.
You would be laughed laughed at.
So I mean, I think Evangelion's like a really great example in terms of like being able to cheat.
Yeah, and
JoJo, I think, honestly does that well.
All three of those, I think, are better directed.
Yes, well, I think that's like the way I think the best way to make up for, you know, a quote unquote lack of animation is to frame things in a very interesting way, like Okitsura, that Okinawa show ending the season, mm-hmm. I think is a good example of that.
Well, for some like Sakamoto Days, I would say maybe like you just need to have like very striking shot composition, right?
Yes. Yeah, I can definitely I can agree with that.
You need more like him just doing a cool pose with like a very kind of interesting and dynamic sort of like shot composition.
Like angle and stuff. Like even if it's not moving a ton, it doesn't need to because there's already enough interesting visual information going on. Because
like right now it's kind of just like in the middle ground where it's like it's not poorly directed, it's competently directed. Oh. And it's not well like super well animated. It's not like on a Jujutsu Kaisen or Mob Psycho level, but it's not
right
the great like it's just kind of middle.
When you try to marry those two things too, like having like really hyper stylized direction and then also really elaborate character animation is how you get fucking Momentary Lily.
Listen, all right.
It's like a fisheye lens and all the hair, like the hair is going everywhere. And it's like, this is too much.
They animated every, that's like a Kenny title. They animated every strand of hair. Every
strand of hair.
See, if we were going to do a video,
of Momentary, make a video on Momentary Lily and just call it that.
They animate every strand of hair. I guess like if we do a clip.
We'll talk about like Momentary Lily probably later in the season because we do have things to say about it.
There are some things to say.
There are some things happening in that show, but
we find ourselves opposed with Momentary Lily.
It's similar to Sakamoto Days. I don't know if we actually disagree that much. It's just kind of like
we land on like different sides of the spectrum of enjoyment.
Yeah, I'm kind of like befuddled. It's like the same things that you're enjoying about it confuse me to no end. Whereas again, kind of similar like Sakamoto Days, like, you know, what I enjoy, you maybe also enjoy, but it's like for different reasons and arguably to not the same extent.
Yeah. Like I'm not engaging with the more limited animation in like a way where I'm like, oh, this is really interesting how they're doing this.
Whereas like I love the, I don't know. I just also really like the idea of like that kind of character archetype of like Sakamoto, where he's like this badass guy that's like, that's like a swords to plowshare kind of thing where now he's just living like a domestic life.
Yeah.
I like that kind of thing. And he's like, kind of wants to avoid conflict. I say this having not seen Trigun or Rurouni Kenshin, even though I probably should.
I feel like those are. Hold on. I haven't really thought about
comparing them. Those.
Yeah. I'm like trying to like compare them very quickly.
how much time do you need, Mumi?
Not that long.
So Kanata, how was your day?
Fuck you! Don't fucking talk to me.
Yeah, I guess like they kind of because they are. It's not really like as ideal driven though. Like he is a pacifist. And there is a motivation for him to be a passive, but I feel like it's not.
Yeah, but it's not like a strong central character pillar.
Right. Like Vash and Trigun, like it's a part of how he basically copes with being in the world. And like part of what like anchors him into society, essentially.
Right. Yeah. There's a direct analog to that sort of thing in Monster, where do you remember the side character in Monster?
Grimmer? Like
kind of Grimmer, but not that. I'm not thinking of Grimmer. I'm thinking of Anna. She like, where she like there's that guy that owns like that coffee shop or whatever that used to be like an assassin. Mm. And then he was like basically gonna kill this guy, And he saw him just having like coffee and enjoying his life. And he's like, yeah, he's like, what am I doing with my life, honestly? And he just kind of like gave it up. that's a really interesting, like, that's not really as much of a thing in Sakamoto. Like, Sakamoto Days is just, he found his, he did what everyone wants to do. He met a hot woman at a convenience store and got married.
Where are all the hot women at my convenience stores? None of the hot women work at convenience stores here.
there are no hot singles in my area, it turns out.
It only took me like $300 to figure that out. But like, yeah, it's like, it is a core to his character in the sense of like, he doesn't want to like lose his wife and his happiness in that way. I don't want to make it sound like there's no, it's just not like a strong conviction, I guess is the way to put it. Like it feels like if his wife just died, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they explore something, like maybe there's like a fake out death or something, and then like his conviction or whatever is tested.
Maybe not necessarily like in Mob.
Yeah, something like, maybe not necessarily like in this season. I'm not expecting that to happen like in the near future, but just like at
some
point.
Be interesting, because like his family is largely uninvolved.
Yeah, well, at least we're talking about like the first four episodes.
This is true.
But yeah, like I'm shooting at the hip because like I'm realizing like these could be things that they explore at some point. It is run for a while now. But yeah, at least at like where we're at, it's not really established that it's a strong conviction for him to be a pacifist. Like
that would be like something I would like to see explored more, because he does make a precise point of like not killing anyone.
He does. I guess like, because in comparison, like Vash is like a protagonist of suffering in a similar way to like Guts, but Vash is like taking on the suffering for other people, whereas Sakamoto he's not suffering, right? Like he's just like
he's just trying to live a quiet life, Mumi.
Well, and not even like I'm talking about like in the engagements, he's just very competent and very like good at fighting, so like he's just overpowering people and is able to do so in a way without being lethal. Obviously, like this episode two-parter thing where he's like fighting some, I guess there's gonna be a different layer added to that. We haven't seen it yet, but
no. I get people who've read the manga are screaming at us right now. Make your own goddamn podcast.
Make a Sakamoto Days manga podcast.
Oh yeah, where you only talk about Sakamoto Days. It'll probably do better than us, honestly.
There are a lot of podcasts that are just dedicated to one series that are much higher rated.
A lot of like One Piece or like Dragon Ball, because like those are large enough where you can do that.
Yeah, Digimon, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, there's probably one for Precure, honestly.
Maybe not higher than us, though. I don't think I've seen that.
Maybe not for Precure, but
there probably is one.
You talk about, like your big like One Piece one or like Dragon Ball. Like there are podcasts like that are considerably larger than us that are literally just about like they talk about a different episode of Dragon Ball every week.
But yeah, I don't anticipate this is gonna go the Trigun route where like Sakamoto is like having his face like marred and like he's gonna take off his shirt and like literal like portions of his body are like held together with like metal like rivets or something. Like I don't think it's gonna get to that extreme, because like Vash is a very extreme pacifist, where he's just like, yeah, you can shoot me and I'm not gonna kill you kind of thing. Like this just feels like he hasn't had to face that kind of conflict by deals.
It's like it's like he can just afford to be a pacifist because of how strong he is.
It's like if he had to choose between his wife and some random dude.
It's not really much of a conviction if there's no concept of accountability yet.
Which again, to be fair, they might do this at some point. We just haven't gotten
this
there
is true.
Yet.
We have not gotten there yet.
We're just
and that's the world of this podcast.
We're just yapping about what we've seen so far.
Well, we talk about things as there's still every other podcast can seem to get away with it. So why can't we? We just talk about stuff we don't understand. And we can try to come across as experts, even though we have no idea what we're talking about. We've actually completely lied to you this entire time, by the way.
Oh?
Nothing that we've said this entire time has been true.
Oh, yeah.
It's all a lie.
We fabricate everything. Like, if you haven't seen, if you've seen Sakamoto Days, you're screaming, like, why did you just make this up?
You're screaming at us, like, none of this happened. All completely wrong. It's not what Sakamoto Days is about at all.
We haven't mentioned it, but I feel like Sosei no Aquarion, Myth of Emotion this season kind of falls into like a couple of the things we've talked about. Where it's like very confusing.
Yeah. But if you want to hear our thoughts on Aquarion, tune in next time of the Weeb Crew.